marks for non-stop happy listening.
Hi, I'm Chris Turner, and welcome to part four of the LM Radio story. Today we're going to be talking to some of the announcers who worked on the station in the 50s and early 60s, and just explore a little bit what life was like down in Lorenzo Marks.
Take my hand, I'm a stranger in paradise, all lost in a wonderland, a stranger in paradise. If I stand starry-eyed, that's a danger in paradise.
In the 50s, there were a number of announcers who went on to become household names. Names like Leslie Sullivan, Barry O'Donoghue, Bob Whitfield, and Paul Nell. There were others who came and went, such as Eric Waite, Martin Allen, Henry Vaughan, John Anthony, Louis Barrington, and Colin Bauer. And even though they may not have been around for more than a few years, each one of these people left their mark on LM Radio. I managed to track down Colin, who now lives in Nottingham, England. Though claiming to be retired, Colin still does the odd stand-in at his local BBC radio station, and is also much in demand as a public speaker. I took my microphone along to Colin's house, and was rewarded with several cups of tea and his recollections of the early days in broadcasting at LM Radio.
Meeting you like this is bringing back so many memories, flooding back of those days and those times. It's and remembering the names, thank goodness you're here to remind me of some, because the old grey cells are not as good as they used to be. But it's wonderful. My sister married a Canadian soldier after the war, and I went to Canada because I wanted to be in show business. My family didn't want me to be in show business, so I thought, well, if I went over to Canada with my sister, I could be in show business. It's logic if you think about it. What, of course, I didn't know was that in Canada, back in those days, I can't talk about now, there was very little show business, but there was lots and lots of radio. So I did a million different jobs, as most of us do to begin with. Then I got a job with the radio station, and then I'd got the urge to come home. I came home, found it a bit difficult finding work, as most people do, but I'd got the travel bug, so I thought I'd go off to South Africa. I went to South Africa, and for a while, I did a couple of programs on the SABC, freelancing. Make Mine Music was one of the programs, and Curtain Up was the other. Mark you, you couldn't tell the difference, because it played the same sort of music. Music with melody. And then somebody told me about LM Radio. So I wrote, and I had an audition with David, and thankfully he hired me. And that's how I ended up at Lorenzo Marks Radio. When I think back to those days, and I look in the studios, and those huge control knobs that were the size of saucers, and of course we didn't have all the things they've got today. The commercials were on records that played at the same speed, I think, as the music, 78. And I used to sit on this little chair that had wheels, whiz it backwards and forwards, and you had three turntables on either side of you. So while you were playing one 30-second commercial for something, you were getting the next commercial lined up. It was all very exciting. I loved every moment of it.
You'd only been there a short while when you had a strange experience.
One morning, I went to shave, and I saw red blotches on my face. And then, to my horror, more blotches appeared on my body. It was like a horror film. I kept seeing these. They were the size of an old-fashioned English penny, I suppose about an inch across, and they kept popping up here, there. I was turning red all over. So I phoned up the studio, and I contacted one of the English-speaking technicians, and I said something terrible is happening to me. I said, I'm coming down now. Will you come to a chemist shop with me? And so I whizzed down to the studio. I picked up the chap. I forget his name, of course, so long ago. And we went to a chemist shop, and I explained to the technician chap. He told the pharmacist, and the pharmacist broke into hysterical laughter. I said, "What's so funny?" And this chap told me that apparently I had walked under a certain kind of tree, which you only find in that part of the world, that drops powder. Now, this powder just affects the skin just enough to get red, but not enough to give you an itch. So he gave me two tablets. He gave me one to take in the shop, in the chemist shop, and the other, he said, if they haven't gone in 20 minutes, take the second tablet and all will be well. So I remember I went back to the hotel and I stripped off and I sat in front of a huge mirror because I thought, because he said, when they go like turning a light bulb off. So I remember sitting there totally naked in front of this mirror, watching to see the minute it went. Needless to say, the telephone went. I went over to answer it, and I think it might have been Rob or somebody, who said, are you all right? Will you be okay for today? I said, of course I'll be all right. And, Chris, you can guess what happened when I went back again and looked at the mirror. Every spot had gone. So I missed the great departure.
So tell me, Colin, what did you do in your spare time?
I remember going to the cinema. I forget the name, of course, of the cinema, but we never sat in the stalls because the first half a dozen rows always flooded if it rained. So we always sat in the balcony. And talking of films, you could get some funny combinations. You could have a John Wayne Western where he was speaking French with, say, Portuguese subtitles, or he might be speaking English with Portuguese subtitles. You never knew what you were going to get, but it was a great deal of fun.
Colin, back to the radio station for a moment. You've mentioned a few names, and perhaps you'd like to tell us about these people. You've mentioned Eric Waite and Rob Vickers, and you remember Paul Nell,
yes.
And of course E.V. Martin. Could you perhaps recount some of your memories?
Memories of them. Well, the memory of Eve was a very attractive girl, and I used to do the breakfast show quite a lot, and she used to join me round about, I think it was about 8 o'clock, to do the Afrikaans bit, because, needless to say, I was lost with that. I do remember once, I forget the chap's name, it wasn't Eric Waite, but it was someone like him, who came in with a foul, really foul pipe. And about the only time I ever lost my cool, I think, was I actually said, will you take the pipe out of here? Well, words to that effect. And he wouldn't, so I picked it up and threw it out of the studio. Dreadful thing to confess, but it really was atrocious. It was foul. Leslie Sullivan, that's funny, you come back, the memories come back. Do you remember Leslie Sullivan? Well, dear Leslie, he was a lovely chap. And when I had that story that I told you about earlier about the red spots, I was doing a show one day, and Leslie came in front of the glass mirror that was in a window that was in front of the control room, where often we had tourists come in and stare at us, and he was carrying a glass of whiskey. And it was about a day or two after I'd had the experience of the red spots, and he just stood there and started dipping his finger into the whiskey and putting it over his face as if he was using an antiseptic. How I finished the program, I don't know.
Paul Nell is another name you'll recognize from the mid-50s. Paul worked on a cruise ship as an entertainer and was discovered by Rob Vickers, who offered him a job at LM Radio. Paul subsequently went on to be an accomplished broadcaster, and among other things, he was one of the pioneers of broadcasting at Radio Manx in the Isle of Man, which was the first land-based commercial radio station in the United Kingdom. Paul also worked for Springbok Radio in the early 70s, but perhaps what he's best known for is as Mr. All Night Radio, For it was early in 1964 that LM Radio pioneered all-night radio, and Paul Nell was the first man to anchor that position. Not only is Paul a successful broadcaster, but he is also an accomplished musician, and I'd like to play you a song of his which landed on the South African hit parade during the early 1960s.
Lonely, every night I'm so lonely.